It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us. He called me the other day to see how I was doing. And I said, well, I'm not doing great, Kyle. How you doing? I mean, we weren't doing great. But, Kyle, it's nice to have you, man. How you doing today?
Anytime I can chat with Joe Rose. It's a good day. How
Thank
you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. Hey, Tyler Huntley comes in as the backup. Did that surprise you to start with off the practice squad with the Ravens?
No. I think he's he had made the move to Cleveland this year. They loaded up on quarterbacks and felt like it was a numbers game for him to not make their roster in the first place. He's got some nice playing experience. Brings a little bit of a different dynamic to the Dolphins quarterback room that I think you like in a backup. I think most backup quarterbacks are chaos merchants to some degree by trade because we've got some skills that plays can break down. We can make some stuff happen, but the execution of stuff on a down-by-down basis is a little bit more in question. And I think you look at Tyler and his resume in Baltimore, and that's kind of what he's been. But I like the playing experience. He's a South Florida native. He can move and get off his spot. He's got a nice arm. I like his tape when he played in college. So yeah. I'm not sure how much of a runway we're going to get him onboarded and see him run this offense versus a watered-down version of the offense that tries to just take advantage of the speed with some speed at quarterback. But that's yet another unknown that we have over the course of the next couple of weeks.
So let's get into the big one, and that is Skylar Thompson's our starting quarterback against Seattle. And can you run everything, in your opinion, that Skylar's got the big arm? Can he run the same offense, or will they have to do some different things compared to Tua and what he does compared to Skylar physically?
So I think he's been in the system long enough where at least versus when he played in 2022, you really felt like they need to water it down, and they didn't necessarily do that. You had a lot of operational issues with the offense. I think that kind of stuff will be better. But I think he sees the field differently than Tua. I think his ball handling and the quick trigger, all of that's different than Tua's. So, yeah, I don't think this is going to be a one-for-one where you call everything exactly the same. I think that can maybe be to the benefit of some of the other players on the team to just kind of get back to basics a little bit. You know, we're pushing the limits of the offense. It's such a finely tuned process. And you got guys that weren't on the team 5 days before the season started running critical routes in a divisional matchup in week two, and they're running the wrong routes and you're throwing picks.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing to just, hey, let's get back to basics, because there's been some good foundational stuff that they've been able to put on the field, I think particularly in the run game.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you got a quarterback that's a backup quarterback, you got a deep stable of running backs at your disposal, I'd love to see them lean into that, because I thought that was some of the best things that they've done over the first 2 weeks, is getting two tight ends on the field running, whether it's their zone stuff or their gap stuff between the tackles. They've had a lot of really nice runs, and they had a couple other explosive runs that were called back for penalties too.
Have you been surprised on how much Devon Achane, who has been the heavy lifter so far with 32 carries and 14 receptions, and Mike comes out and says, hey, I'm going to keep it rolling with him if I have to, because he's been really good?
Yeah, certainly a little surprised. He's not your prototypical bell cow back type of build at the running back position, but that's just one of those things. He did that from time to time at Texas A&M, too. It was the LSU game his last year. He had 38 touches or something like that. So he's shown the ability of flash to be able to do that in spurts. I would just be careful not to put too big of a workload on him.
Yeah.
Because he's he's not a prototypical bell cow back that should be taking 40 hits on a game-by-game basis. And you have these other guys that have been impactful. Well, obviously, you didn't have Raheem in week two, so I understand it to that degree. And Jalen Wright getting his feet wet for the first time. But if he's going to be your primary ball carrier, I think that's great. But I don't know that I'd be signing him up for 35 touches every single game just because I worry about what that means long-term throughout the season.
If Teron Armstead can't play, and I don't know what the shoulder, what the problem is right now, how serious it is, but you've got to go back again with Kendall Lamb. I don't think you can give Patrick Paul in this road and everything else his first start, can you?
I think playing in Seattle is a tough ask, just like I think throwing him in there in the second half when Teron went out against Buffalo with the score being what it was would have been a very difficult ask. Kendall's an experienced player. He played well here last year. You brought him back with the understanding he'd be your swing tackle, so I'm totally fine with running with Kendall Lamb. Let Kendall prepare this week like he's the starter, and if Teron can't go, then you feel good about what you have there. And I think it'd be smart to be a little selective with where Patrick Paul gets his first reps. But look, if we're going to be focused on running the ball, how about we do some six offensive line type stuff and get Patrick out there and get some reps as a run blocker and
yeah.
Start that process a little bit. I think things like that, little things you can get him out there other than just on your field goal extra point type, team type situations, might not be the worst thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we saw how it worked for Buffalo with the extra offensive alignment in the running game. So I've been getting this all week. I wanted to get your take on, is Zach Sealer and Calais Campbell not a problem? Both really good. Calais Campbell, though, we got to keep an eye on snaps at age 38. But everybody, you tell me, Benito Jones, Brandon Peely, and Deshaun Hand, how have they played?
I don't think you've had a lot of opportunities to see the nose tackles out there collecting reps. And maybe I think those guys are both ideally nose tackles. So are you rostering two nose tackles to not play two nose tackles? And if that's the case, maybe you need to consider getting another rotational guy that can play in the B gap. I think Deshaun Hand, I thought he had some nice moments against Jacksonville. He's obviously taking a triple team on the explosive run after a turnover on downs where Jalen Waddle falls down in a 10-point ball game in the first half. It's hard to blame him too much for that individual rep. But, I think there is a pretty clear divide between the top two guys in Sealer and Campbell and the rest of the group right now. And I think some of that's been hurt by structurally what the Dolphins are doing defensively is not having a lot of three interior down linemen on the field at the same time.
And that's something you should know before in off season that let's get on the same page how we're going to use guys and get the right guys or no. Am I missing something?
I think some of that can be circumstantial, but yeah, I think there's certainly a fair question to ask about. And maybe they feel Brandon Peely has more of an upside to play in other spots. I certainly don't think you should be expecting anything from Benito Jones with just his athletic profile and his skill set and his build. He's a nose tackle through and through. But some of the 53 rosters decisions at the beginning of the year felt like they were playing off of long-term and short-term decisions. We don't want to expose guys to waivers that we really want.
Yeah.
That happened to them last year with a couple of guys that got plucked. One of those guys who scored a touchdown for the Cardinals in week two against the Rams. So, like, you're juggling all this stuff, but I do think it's maybe a little fair to sit here and ask about asset allocation. If Brandon Peely is predominantly going to be an A-gap defender and a nose tackle, and you've got Benito Jones, and you're carrying two guys that do the same thing, and you're not really doing any of that in the first 2 weeks, what does that say? And I don't know a better time to have a nose tackle out there than when you're catching six offensive linemen on the field with the jumbo sets that the Bills ran.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, it will be interesting what Mike comes up with for Skylar Thompson in this offense to more ball control. And by the way, we would agree, though, it's still about getting Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle the ball, right? I mean, and I don't mean behind the line of scrimmage. I'm talking down the field, correct? Set up big plays still?
Yeah, I think it maybe looks a little different. It's maybe not as We'll see what they ultimately end up actually deciding to do. But I thought I would love to see Miami run some more of their 22 packages, which is two backs and two tight ends. And those could be two running backs. It can be Alec Ingold. But that really heavy formation stuff, and then you have a receiver on the field, and you're kind of naturally set up with some of the structures there with two tight ends and a fullback hypothetically on the field to take some play-action shot plays, but you have to be committed to running the ball out of those groups first. And you've seen Waddle be the receiver on the field with two backs and two tight ends, and it is one of the formations where the Dolphins can naturally, regardless of the speed that you have at wide receiver, even if there's only one out there,
yeah,
get all those hats down into the box. So I think from a passing game perspective, yes, you want to take your selective shots with your speed guys down the field, but what does it look like? I think it's probably a little different, or I would think logic dictates it looks a little different. Maybe it's not as high volume, but it is still your chance for games or plays that break a game open because yeah, you're hitting explosives down the field.
So let me ask you, we haven't gotten anything out of a third true wide receiver. Is Eric Ezekiel, if he's close and he comes back, does he, in your mind, jump right behind Hill and Waddle as the third guy once he's ready?
I think there's a chance because he's played in the system that could happen. It looked like he had a little momentum building midway through the preseason, and they got hurt again and ended up in a boot. I can see him absorbing the role back from Grant Dubose, who had a really critical error on the third and long that was a perfect throw in the hole in zone coverage that led to the first interception that they had on Thursday night. Mistakes like that will be hard to miss, but you watch the rest of that game and what Grant Dubose did, and he did a lot of the things that you thought you were going to see from Ezekanma based off of 2023, which is we'll do some stuff in motion, we're going to get you momentum into a blocker, ask you to serve as the point man on some perimeter screen type stuff. So I think there is a bit of a parallel with what those guys can do. It's just a question of who do they trust more to give you more options with what assignments they can trust you to.
So in the big picture now, week three, everybody knows the quarterback situation, and we're going to have to move on here and start talking about Skyler here at some point because he's going to be the starting quarterback in Seattle for your first road game. And I'm just curious, what's your take after two games and how you feel? Because it looks like teams kind of gotten off to a slow start here. They're 1-1, but had to have a great comeback and a couple of tremendous plays to do it at the end of the third quarter against Jacksonville. What's your overall view of this team right now?
Yeah, I think they're leaving a lot of meat on the bone, and I think they're kind of figuring out their identity through trial and error. And I think they need to get back to basics a little bit, and hopefully some of the unfortunate circumstances around the team right now can help spur that, because I don't think you watch them run the ball, you watch their ability to run the ball, you watch their ability to win matchups inside and outside, and they've diversified the run game with some more power concepts and gap schemes. There's stuff to work with there. Are you going to hang your hat on it, or are you going to sit here and say, hey, we've got 100 rushing yards at halftime, but by golly, we got to get 10-17 the football,
yeah,
even if they're still playing
good point
drop 7 coverage, and they're playing everybody on the second level at 12 yards of depth, and the safety's over the top, and their cover two looks are playing at 25 yards depth. Yeah. Mm. So they got to get a feel for how this year's group works. And I think if you didn't deal with the injury to Tua, I would be able to say, hey, you know, you had a guy fell down on your fourth down call for a turnover on downs. You had two interceptions where guys ran the wrong routes. One bounced off the guy's shoulder, and if he'd have looked for the ball, it would have hit him in the face. It just wasn't your night. And I know nobody wants to hear that against Buffalo, but I think there was some elements of that that's like, yeah, man, the ball just didn't bounce your way, man. It's a long season. Let's get back on the horse. But now because of the Tua injury, there's this whole other element and storyline that we have to see the team work their way through.
Yeah. No.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No, good stuff. Hey, by the way, a little scouting report. Did you check out that spread that your friends had on that tailgating party? Did you see what the chef did out there? That was the greatest tease job I've ever seen. It almost got me an hour before the game to tell those guys I was going to miss like 35 to 40 minutes to go down there. That was impressive.
So I think what needs to happen next time, Joe, is
I need you. I need you to just grab me and we're going. That's what I need.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I know I'll do my 111th if you do yours, and we'll get down there next time they have one.
Man, that's the greatest teaser of all time. That was fantastic. All right. Hey, thank you so much, Kyle. Appreciate it, man. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Joe. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked on Fence podcast right now. Want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, man. Oh, my gosh. Still getting it done for everybody out there. Nobody's going to outwork him. There's a reason he's been successful for 33 years right here in South Florida. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage got some great programs. Matter of fact, wants everybody to know the reverse mortgage, still one of the most popular mortgages we have. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. And I bet you could use all that equity in your home. Like a lot of older people, we live in that same house, we pay it off, we're sitting there and going, man, I'm not really where I was hoping to be towards getting closer to retirement, and you got all that equity you'd love to have. The reverse mortgage might be absolutely perfect for you and still have a place to live, man. Not bad at all. Great two-way place to go. Hey, first-time homebuyer rates, fixed rates in the fives. He's got a plan for you, self-employed, and been declined by the banks. Michael Kotze's got a program for you. He's doing it for everybody. Go to Google Reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews. Find out what people are saying about Michael Kotze. This guy works, man, but more than just works. He gets it done for in half the time of the big banks. Look, he has no life. I don't mean to be mean to Michael Kotze. I like him, but he really has no life. This guy is always working 7 days a week. Call or text him. Find out for yourself. 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.